You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to the site now, check out all the good stuff we have coming out of NFL free agency, going into the NFL draft, mock draft, as we broke down in two parts on the last two shows, the latest tracking of NFL free agency. And here, it's time to pick up where we left off on Locked On Fantasy Football with our team-by-team off-season guides. We did not get to the Bengals. We did start the AFC North of the Ravens. We got to complete that division. We've already gone through, if you want to check it out, the NFC East, the AFC East, and the NFC North, and one team there, the Ravens, in the AFC North. So we got to finish that division, and then we can get into the nitty-gritty, talking about the new-look NFC South as well. So today, we're up on the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll finish the week with the Cleveland Browns. We'll also include any news and notes from the latest wave of NFL free agency that you need to know from a fantasy perspective as we go forward. So, yeah, so Bengals and Browns, good Ohio combination here to close the week. And then we'll start next week, if that would fall in line. The Pittsburgh Steelers would be a good kickoff to Monday there with our programming. So we're still going to bring it to you, give you this in-depth analysis that you're looking for here, as the NFL is not trending towards having OTAs or minicamp at this point. NFL draft still on. The Bengals are a big team involved with that draft. We know that. They have the number one overall pick. All signs still point to them taking Joe Burrow at number one overall, the quarterback from LSU. We had Burrow in our latest mock draft, still going to them. More rumblings that the Dolphins or some other team could make a very aggressive trade up to get Burrow. I think the Dolphins are the only team really with the ammo with those three first-round picks that could really help them if they really liked Joe Burrow as a transcendent quarterback that much. So that's going to be the question mark. But Joe Burrow, again, things have been lining up. I think this is where the Bengals have been considering all offseason here. You have the franchise tag on A.J. Green, so he's returning here for one more year. All guaranteed money, pretty good deal for him, but top of the market considering he's 31 and is going to be coming off a season loss to an ankle injury. So good situation for Green and for Burrow to have the rookie coming there. Tyler Boyd, that's also good for him because we know he's better as that complimentary, often slot receiver here, not the number one, and seeing those type of coverages outside. John Ross still in the mix. He ineffective overall, the first round pick there from Washington, but showed a little flash a little bit early in that Zach Taylor offense in the first year of it. Early in 2019, he really dropped off. He could do a little bit more. I think the problem with him is just he's not very much of a complete receiver, really relying on his speed there. And we'll see if he can evolve a little bit. But Green still in the mix with Tyler Boyd and John Ross. They've got other receivers. We know that Auden Tate could be pushing for more of a role instead of Ross in that second outside spot opposite Green. Alex Erickson is kind of a little bit of a backup support for Boyd when they stretch the field and go inside. He's a little bit of a tight end hybrid. And why that's important here for the Bengals is that they did not keep Tyler Eifert. He finally moves on here. They brought him back in a one-year deal last year. This time, the Jaguars were willing to spend good money on Tyler Eifert, so they drag him out of Cincinnati. Actually, he joins Darquez Dennard there, the slot corner that they used to have. They both signed in Jacksonville here. So Tyler Eifert moving on there to reduce this tight end room to CJ Uzomah and Drew Sample. Those are the options now. Sample was the rookie last year, mainly a blocking guy, but maybe could see a bit bigger role. Again, Erickson in the hybrid role could really be working with Uzomah in those sets. Uzomah is the better blocker. We know that. Erickson's not going to give you much there. They could also look to upgrade tight end in the draft as well there. So Bengals pretty decent receiving core, especially if Tate steps into a bigger role here and is busier than Green and as busy as Green and Boyd here in those 11 personnel three receiver sets. We know Zach Taylor comes from the Los Angeles Rams, where they employed that pretty seamlessly with Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, and Cooper Kupp. Boyd is in that Kupp role here. Green technically is in the Brandon Cooks role, but I think he's more in the Robert Woods role at this point. And Ross in that Cooks role because of the speed. But again, they do have Stanley Morgan, Alex Erickson, Auden Tate, guys that can definitely step in and take the work away from Ross. And they could also look at that outside true number two receiver in the draft as well. They need to replace Green at some point soon here if he's only on a one-year deal. We'll see if it comes back beyond that and he gets anything long-term. But again, just for the consideration of Green getting older, only under contract for one more year if he signs the franchise tag tender, and Ross kind of being disappointed, you would think the Bengals would be in the market for a wide receiver at some point in this draft. Just too deep of a class. If you somewhat need a wide receiver, I think you have to think about that position for sure, especially when you're bringing in Joe Burrow and you want to get him on the same page with some similar guys. You could look at Justin Jefferson. Should the LSU wide receiver last into round two, that's something the Bengals can consider. But again, these are some decisions they're going to have to make. But I think Ross and Tate, I don't think they'll necessarily sit on those two options there on the outside. And same thing with Uzuma. He's serviceable, but you're not going to get much fantasy football tight end production from him. So we'll see where we go with those Bengals skill players that still need to be rounded out here for the Joe Burrow rival. Now, the other thing I'll mention here with Joe Burrow is that the recent report that the Bengals are having a hard time trading Andy Dalton. So that is a big of a concern here, that Andy Dalton is may not be released and may not be available to the Patriots or another team. So clearly he is looking at a change here possibly, but the Bengals have to allow him to do that. I think they're disappointed so far. There are no takers. They're hoping the Patriots really consider Dalton more and more so they can make that deal. Otherwise, they're going to have to cut him outright. It's not terrible to keep Andy Dalton as a backup. The problem is I don't think Andy Dalton wants to have that role here. Ryan Finley, it's not like you can feel totally comfortable about him being there to back up Burrow. Finley is a second-year player, had a lot of struggles last year out of NC State. Very young, you're not going to get that wisdom and intelligence and direct connection to doing well in this offense if Dalton's not there. Remember, they benched Dalton last year in favor of Finley, then Dalton came back in. He played well down the stretch. So Andy Dalton, the Bengals have a weird relationship with him in terms of how they played him last year. Zach Taylor, I don't know if they completely mesh. So that could push Dalton out of there. But on the other hand, the Bengals maybe could lean on Dalton a little bit as backup and support here for Joe Burrow. So a situation that's still developing here that we go along. Again, it comes down to three quarterbacks trying to find their homes. Cam Newton and Jameis Winston still free agents of this show recording. And Andy Dalton looking at maybe getting a release from the Bengals, maybe not. That's going to be something we're going to watch. And we'll see if Dalton wants to be willing backup or if he's just going to ask for his outright release. That's something to watch. But Dalton, not a bad contingency plan there. If Burrow needs some time to start, I think they'll probably start him from day one. But in general, again, I'd rather have him if they can afford him. And he's willing to do it as the backup number two here, clearly, to help with the headsets and clipboard, that stuff, versus Finley here in 2020. So there you have a look at how the Bengals offense kind of sets up here in 2020. We still have to talk about how their offensive line can improve here, and there's been a change up there up front as well coming out of free agency, so we'll examine that. And most of their big free agent moves so far have come on defense, so we'll examine that here after the break. But first, I got to tell you, make sure you're checking out all the great draft content we have on the Locked On Network here. We've got two shows for you, Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes podcast, straight from the inside and analytical minds of the Draft Network. So we've got you covered there. Multiple ways for the draft, prospect profiles, those type of shows, and analyzing the top prospects at each position, mock drafts, more of that stuff, their rankings, all that good stuff across the board here for you for the NFL draft. Our reality coverage is strong here on the network, and I encourage you to check that out as well as tapping into fantasy. We'll be right back here to look at the Bengals' key free agent moves so far in 2020. All right, I mentioned the Bengals did let a key player go from their offense in Tyler Eifert. They pick up a potential starting right guard here in Xavier Suafilo. Jonah Williams, they expect the left tackle. He was a high pick, first rounder, got hurt early in the offseason last year. So they're going to have two changes in line here for their offensive line that really needs it. Bobby Hart, pretty shaky on the right side. Michael Jordan, arguably, was their best offensive lineman at left guard. They need Williams badly to shore up the blind side there for Burrow and or Dalton here in 2020. So those are some big things that are improving for the Bengals. I still think they can invest in that line. Unfortunately, their first-round drafting of Billy Price at center hasn't worked out either, so they could be back in the market for that. Center, right tackle, I think those positions could really use a boost. We want to see how Williams progresses. We won't know for sure with the medical things in flux here. Tough year for him last year, coming out of Alabama. We thought he was going to be a key part of what they did with the pass protection and run blocking, but he was out of the mix pretty early. So let's just see where they go with Jonah Williams. But Suafilo, serviceable starter there. They pick up in free agency, pretty cheap move there. That said, their biggest moves here, the Bengals, were on defense, and they spent quite a bit. Technically, they will have three new starters, and it really... They also a key player likely in the nickel package as well. Remember, they lost Darcus Dennard, so a little bit of a shakeup there in the secondary was coming anyway. But they get DJ Reader. That was a big pickup. He was in the 3-4 with the Texans as a nose tackle, had an outstanding season. Now they put him with Geno Atkins, who's getting a little older, but still effective. And DJ Reader comes in. And that's a game changer for Atkins, having a guy that can eat up some more space, free him up to get to the quarterback a little bit. Sam Hubbard on the right end has been pretty good here. We thought he had some nice upside from Ohio State, starting to show that. They're a little old at the other edge rusher with Carlos Dunlap. They've had him in there for a while. They're Carl Lawson in their rotational mix as well. But Reeder certainly is going to help them push inside well. They'll be better against the run. Again, Atkins is going to like that, having a player of that caliber next to him. So it was a bit of a surprise they invested in not a 3-4 team in a nose, but they want to get that push and strength up front. And Reeder can certainly do that, complementing the game of Atkins really well. So I think in the draft, they're certainly going to be in the market for more edge rush help here. So Dunlap getting up there, we know that. So they need to address that. They're also pretty weak at the linebacker spots here. They did pick up Josh Bynes there, the former Ravens and Cardinals linebacker. He's in the mix, but Jermaine Pratt, Hardy Nickerson, and Jordan Evans are their current linebackers. So that's become a mess. Nick Vigil is out of this mix now. You know, they're a couple years removed from Vontaze Burfict moving on. So Vincent Ray and these guys that were the staples of their linebacker core long gone. So I think linebacker is going to be a big part of what the Bengals try to upgrade on top of taking Joe Burrow first overall as it stands now in the NFL draft. The big changes we know came in the secondary. Well, Trey Kirkpatrick and William Jackson were the starters, but they went out and signed Trey Waynes to a pretty hefty contract from the Vikings, so figure he's going to start in one of those spots. William Jackson, a first-round pick, a little bit disappointed in him. Mackenzie Alexander has a good chance to compete and take over that nickel back role vacated by Dennard, working in the middle of the field there. So, again, Waynes, interesting that they move on from Dennard and go to Waynes, another Michigan State product, kind of in that no-fly zone era, so to speak, of the Spartans defense under Mark D'Antonio. So they bring another player of that mold here, and Alexander. So steal two key parts of the Vikings defense here. Again, Alexander, strictly a sub-package player, but can be very good at that role. Waynes playing on the outside, certainly an upgrade over either Kirkpatrick or Jackson. So something to watch there. The Bengals also had really bad safety play in 2020. Enter Von Bell. He had a really strong year playing in run support for the Saints. He comes over underrated, I think, in pass coverage as well, but he gives you an extra linebacker, which they need with their linebacker core struggling a little bit here. But again, revamp secondary for sure, where you'll have two new starters on regular downs with Waynes and Bell. Jesse Bates, they really like as well as a young playmaker. Bell complements him a little bit, gives you that stability, steadiness there against the run and run support that you get from what Von Bell provides. Bates can be a little freelancing and make some bigger plays here. And Wayne's also a good shutdown type, so it should free things up. And Alexander pretty solid there if you need him in the nickel package. So overall, the Bengals just fantastic in being aggressive for change, really to try to upgrade their secondary. That's where they can throw the money. That's where they felt like they needed to throw the money. And between Wayne's and Bell and Alexander, and then also Reader up front, I mean, the Bengals should be improved defensively. Again, linebacker has to be addressed, edge rusher. They got to get better in their front seven. It's not a defense necessarily you're looking at as a fantasy football unit just yet, but definitely some things you like about it. More playmaking ability. Now we'll see where they go impact-wise in the draft to get a little bit more immediate impact. Maybe get one or two starting linebackers, a young edge rusher. That would really make you feel better about the Bengals going forward. So there you have it. There's a look at what the Cincinnati Bengals set up for now after the early few stages of free agency and going into the NFL draft. We still have to talk about a few of the latest moves that happened in NFL free agency to close the show, and we'll do that. But first, make sure you're checking out all the non-NFL podcasts here on the Locked On Network. MLB, NHL, NBA, we know those seasons are on hold here. It was opening day here for MLB, so technically all three seasons being off here, unfortunately because of concerns of the coronavirus outbreak. So it's justifiable, but there's still a lot to talk about in those sports. So check out our team-by-team podcast there, as well as Locked On NBA and Hollinger and Duncan, our two big shows there, as we also introduce a show there to get you ready for the NBA draft that's still scheduled to take place as of now in June. We'll be right back here to close the show looking at some of the latest free agent moves you need to know about across the league that affect fantasy football. All right, since we last looked at some of the free agent moves here in impacting fantasy football here in 2020, we had a couple moves go down, most of them at wide receiver here. That's what we're seeing. The wide receiver was waiting until the deepest stage of NFL free agency. We left off kind of with the two moves made with Emmanuel Sanders going to the Saints and Nelson Agholor going to the Raiders. The two big ones that came down within seconds of each other, and I think both these guys were underrated. I'm not sure I love the fits for either guy, but they are directly related in this sense. So basically, one guy replaces the other, and we're not sure how Robbie Anderson, who leaves the Jets, two-year, $20 million deal with the Panthers, kind of fits in that offense because, again, he's a big play, deep threat. He goes to Teddy Bridgewater, not necessarily known for his big arm and stretching the ball downfield. There's already DJ Moore there, as well as Curtis Samuel, some big playmakers in their right. They should have a bigger role for Ian Thomas at tight end to stretch the field down the seam with Greg Olsen gone. So Anderson, again, goes to a crowded spot here. We'll see what they do with Samuel. There's talk about them maybe moving on from Samuel, but I think this is a response to the Panthers want a field more dynamic, 11 personnel when they go three wide. That's the course of this division. When you look at it, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Tom Brady having a lot of firepower. They're trying to fight fire with fire and give Bridgewater the guy that can douse out some of these defenses and stretch the field here. And open things up. DJ Moore is a good after-the-catch player. So is Curtis Samuel. They added a little bit more speed here. Anderson can take a top off of defense, open things up in the middle there for Moore and Thomas, especially Christian McCaffrey in the screen game and dump-offs out of the backfield. So gives someone to be respected. Remember, he consistently drew the top coverage. Most notably, he struggled with Stephon Gilmore with the Patriots and couldn't quite get going there. So that's going to be the concern. What is the usage here? Obviously, it's going to cut the value of Samuel more, I think, than DJ Moore. DJ Moore really proved last year that he acts like a number one. While Anderson, we know, has not really been a number one. He's been that speedy deep threat. Anderson can be that complement. I think Moore is more like in the Steve Smith mold. So think of Anderson and Ted Ginn, a little elevated there. And what Moore is a kind of a better version of Steve Smith later in his career. I think he's on par with Steve Smith in terms of the production early in their career, so keep that in mind. I mean, it's a different situation, different offense, Joe Brady and Teddy Bridgewater, but it's clearly they want to throw down the field a little bit more, even with Bridgewater and maybe the concerns there. They trust him with that part of the offense here. So they're going to open things up. When you spend $10 million on Robbie Anderson a season, you definitely want to deploy him and have him a key role, but I think they're just trying to put pressure on the secondaries of the NFC South, and can't wait to talk about the division in full next week. But Anderson, we'll see. I think that puts him right now in the wide receiver 3 conversation. DJ Moore in wide receiver 1 land with some of the production he had last year, and Samuel definitely gets a downgrade here in this new landscape of the Panthers passing game. Then Anderson leaving the Jets, he gets replaced by Rashad Perriman. He gets a 1-year, $8 million deal here for this move. And when you look at it overall, I mean, it made a lot of sense. I mean, Perriman is a similar type of receiver, a lot of speed on the outside. He showed he could be healthy, complete, acted like a number one down the stretch in Tampa last year with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Hurting with the hamstring injuries late. I think that's where he got his deal here. I think had he not done that, I think he would have come back cheap to the Bucks. But the Bucks lose him. I think the Bucks could use a player like Perriman, so they'll have to turn and entertain that player in the draft. But makes sense for the Jets to give Perriman a 1-year flyer there. Now complementing the rest of the guys they have on their offense. I think he's a little bit more complete number one for them in their sense to work with Sam Darnold. So Perriman in a good landing spot. We know Robbie Anderson was hit or miss, and a lot of his production came in the latter part of the season, but I think Perriman can be more complete, busy. This is a target to watch. He was a first-round pick, remember, of the Ravens. Took a while to get going, much like Devontae Parker in the same draft class, but he kind of found his groove at the end with the Buccaneers, and that's going to help him replace Anderson and probably have a better potential to be more productive than Anderson was there, not sporadic and flashy in that sense. Then you have Devin Funchess going to the Packers. I don't know if this moves the needle that much for us in fantasy football, but it's an option after Devontae Adams. Alan Lazard looked like he had the best trajectory there with MBS kind of sliding. Jerome Allison won't be re-signed here. Equanimeous St. Brown could be cut here. So Funchess has a chance, but never had the chance really with the Colts coming over from the Panthers last year. A lot of injuries. They just didn't get on the field and couldn't be effective here. So Funchess is a big body. It's kind of an extra tight end. They are switching things up there. Keep that in mind with no Jimmy Graham. They do have Jay Sternberger there as a player that they really like here to make some big plays at tight end. So good overall situation here developing for Aaron Rodgers, but I still think they're going to be marked heavily for a wide receiver in the 2020 NFL draft. Finally, a couple moved by the Redskins, one related here to the situation at wide receiver. Again, they're pretty much wide open after Terry McLaurin. They do have Kelvin Harmon from NC State, who they drafted last year. So you look at Cody Latimer here coming in, has a shot, had some time with the Giants, came over from the Broncos, big outside body that they can play. So again, Latimer will come and compete. I don't expect anything good from him yet. We also have a quarterback situation in flux. It could be anyone starting right now. It could be Dwayne Haskins or Kyle Allen. Cam Newton can be ruled out. Tua Tagovailoa. So a lot of things in motion there with the Redskins. And Latimer is there in the mix to see if he can really carve out a role here in 2020. Finally, they also signed Peyton Barber, the Redskins did. That's not necessarily the best place for him. He's the backup insurance to both Darius Geis and Adrian Peterson at this point. They didn't really replace Chris Thompson all that much with J.D. McKissick, so it's a pretty crowded backfield here between Geis and Peterson and Barber and McKissick. So, again, these are all insurance policies for Geis. They like Geis to be the man, but multiple knee injuries say there's a little bit of concern there, and they can't completely trust him, so it's not the best move for Peyton Barber. It does leave an opportunity for Ronald Jones with the Buccaneers, but we also have to see the Buccaneers are probably going to be in the market for a pass-catching back, and that player might only come in the NFL draft. They could upgrade with someone like J.K. Dobbins of Ohio State or Clyde Edwards-Hilaire of LSU, two people that really would fit with what Tom Brady does, catching passes out of the backfield. So there you have it. There's your first-year breakdown of the Bengals and their offseason guide and the few latest news and notes from NFL free agency here to close the show. Next time, we'll have a total in-depth look at the Cleveland Browns, and they've had a very good offseason so far. So excited to talk about them and their upside here with Kevin Stefanski. All this wraps up this edition of Locked On Fantasy Football. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NFL Draft. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.